Hello, this is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Catholic Baltimore is a weekly radio program hosted by the Archdiocese of Baltimore, airing each Sunday following the broadcast of the Radio Mass of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic radio partners for sharing with us some of the content in this program and for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to the Archdiocese of Baltimore every Sunday.
Welcome to Catholic Baltimore. I'm George Matisek, digital editor for the Archdiocese of Baltimore. Our guest today is Deacon Sean Keller, a permanent deacon at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Baltimore. Our topic is how to live your faith in a secular culture. Deacon Sean, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So it's no secret that a lot of people are really indifferent to organized religion or just to any sense of faith at all these days. You have some statistics that kind of bear that out. Could you talk a little bit about some of the recent studies that show?
Sure. There's been a variety of studies that have been conducted both by secular and non-secular organizations. And a couple that I'd like to refer to is one done by CARA. And just want to point out a couple interesting statistics. In 1970, and this is on baptisms of infants, and this is the previous year. And in 1970, there were approximately 1.1 million children baptized in the previous year. So that would have been 1969. That number in 2018 was 615,000. And you think about that, you know, our country is getting larger and the number of Catholics is getting larger, you think, but the actual number of baptisms is getting smaller. And then when you think of marriage, and this is really stunning, this number, in the 1970 number was 426,000, and in 2018 was 143,000. So when you look at those numbers, and then you compare that with a Pew Research that demonstrates and shows the number of people that identify with some type of faith tradition, it's very unsettling. So in 2007, the Pew Research found that 16% of people did not identify, 16% of Americans did not identify with some type of faith tradition. And in 2017, that number has risen to 23%. So in just 10 years, it's really gone up significantly. But the real number that is very, very unsettling is of those people that don't identify with a faith tradition, 35% of them are millennials. So when you start and you think about that, all these numbers, especially when you look at history in general, where people have always had some type of religion, and maybe not Christianity, maybe they, in earlier Roman times when they worshipped many gods, people have always had some type of sense of religion. And so this is what's really unsettling, is that you have so many people that don't identify with anything.
There are a lot of cultural forces at play here, and certainly the sex abuse crisis in the Catholic Church is playing a role here. But what do you attribute some of this decline to? Why are people abandoning the faith or not even thinking about faith?
Well, I think there's as our knowledge has grown and we have questions, which is totally perfectly normal. I think some of it is obviously some of the own challenges we have in our own church. Mm-hmm. That certainly has a play. I think it's also as our generations. You know, I'm a Gen Xer, and so what are we doing as Gen Xers to raise our children to reinforce the values that we receive through the faith? Those are some things. And then also the rise and the influence of our media, especially social media, mm-hmm. where everybody has a platform. And you don't necessarily have to back up any of your claims with empirical evidence. You don't have to do any of that. So you throw all that out there. You throw this desire to have material things. You have this all these different influences, these external influences. And it really is no wonder why these numbers are playing out like this.
I think you're also seeing a coolness factor here, too, with atheism, especially on social media. It's the cool thing.
Oh, yeah, it's kind of hip. You know, it's hip, you know, to be atheistic. And you even see that in popular figures, especially that come out of the entertainment industry. Mm-hmm.
Given this cultural context, it seems to me that it would be countercultural to be a person of faith. Do you think that's the case? And how can you live your faith in this secular culture?
So I think being countercultural is a key term. It really is. You know, our rector, Father James Bourque, he often mentions being radical and being countercultural in his many homilies. And so that is being countercultural. And what you also see, though, which I think is a sign of hope, is for those that are returning to the church, and especially when you see the millennials and the Gen Zers. So I have two daughters, and one is a millennial, and the other is a Gen Zer. And so the Gen Zer always reminds me that she's not a millennial. When they are coming back, and they've kind of had this college experience and so forth, but sometimes you see them coming in, and they're embracing not just the faith, but the rituals that are part of our faith. And I think that often leads to what we talk about, how do you bring people back? And I often reference Bishop Barron. He talks about the three things, the beauty of the church. And when you think about it, we really got that covered. We got that covered in spades. I often tell people that, you know, when you come into a church, you want to have that otherworldly experience. And so as a mystical faith, we try to appeal to people's senses, you know, the sight. What do they see? Hopefully the beauty that God has given us, you know, in this place of worship. What they hear, hopefully great preaching and great song, great music that appeals to your heart, to the smells, the candles, the incense, to the taste, the sweetness of the wine, of the blood of Christ, you know. And you appeal to all these senses, and you try to really give them that otherworldly experience through the beauty and the mystical, the mysticalness of our faith, if that's such a word. The other thing is, you talk about the good works of the church, the goodness of the church. Catholic Relief Services, based out of here in Baltimore. I have friends that work for them. I've had friends that have actually left higher paying jobs because they wanted to do the work of the church through Catholic Relief Services. You know, the largest non-governmental agency, social justice agency in the world. I mean, that's the goodness of the church. You know, our hospitals, our schools, our churches, all of those things that we do to really live out our life through the gospel. And then finally, the truth. You know, our world is craving the truth. And in a time when you have moral relativism, where that's the code of public life, as Catholics, we have to be countercultural, and we have to say no. We have to be willing to stand up and say no. We have to be radical. So, you know, the beauty of the church, the works, and then the truth. And that's how we can appeal to people. You know, I often tell people, I say, you're not going to, you know, we live in a pluralist world. And I can't go into my office over in Colombia and walk around with the Bible and bump people in the head. That's not going to work, okay? But people have to see me living out my faith. How do they see me? How do I conduct myself? Am I fair? You know, am I compassionate? Am I merciful? All those things. They apply just as much in our outside of church life, if you will, as they do, you know, when we're sitting in the pews and saying amen that we believe.
Well, our guest today is Deacon Sean Keller of the Baltimore Basilica, and our conversation will return in a moment when we'll talk a little bit more about some of the practical ways you can live your faith in this culture that we live in. For Catholic Baltimore, I'm George Matisek. We'll be back in a moment.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. Archbishop William E. Laurie ordained three men to the priesthood during a joyous June 22nd Mass at the Cathedral of Mary Our Queen in Homeland. The newest priests are Father Matthew J. DeFusco, Father Matthew T. Himes, and Father Tyler G. Klein. For full coverage of the ordination and to read profiles of the new priests, visit CatholicReview.org. More than 2,260 students graduated from Catholic high schools in the Archdiocese of Baltimore this year, with 98% of them heading to college in five countries and 41 states in the fall. 44% graduated with honors, and nearly half received college scholarships. Learn more about this year's graduations at CatholicReview.org, and be sure to check back in the coming weeks for featured profiles of graduates. Also, look for photos of graduations on the Catholic Review page on SmugMug. Aid to the Church in Need raised more than $125 million in 2018 to help support persecuted Christians, particularly in the Middle East, where tens of thousands of Christians have been forced to flee their homes due to ongoing war and conflicts over the last decade. Releasing its 2018 annual report on June 20th, the Vatican recognized foundation that assists minority Christian communities and people persecuted for their faith, said the donations funded no fewer than 5,019 pastoral projects in some 139 different countries, with 27% of the donations going to Africa and 25% to the Middle East. Projects in the Middle East have increased since the 2011 Arab Spring, the foundation said. In the past 7 years, it said the foundation has devoted to the region a total of $111.8 million, of which over $20.3 million were in 2018 alone. Over 12% of the total aid, the report said, went to assisting thousands of Christians in the Middle East, especially in Syria and Iraq, and funded the rebuilding of nearly 1,500 Christian homes. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. From the newsroom of the Catholic Review, I'm Sarah Travlos.
Do you want to know more about what's going on in the church and the world than you can get from your daily newspaper or local TV? Read the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the church full-time, the Catholic Review. Pick up the print magazine monthly at your parish or have the Catholic Review delivered to your home every month. You can get fresh news every day online at CatholicReview.org. Subscribe to the Catholic Review e-newsletter for twice-a-week updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Find our app on Apple and Android, and follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Wherever your faith takes you, Catholic Review Media is ready to inspire, teach, inform, and engage. Read it today, in print and online, at CatholicReview.org. That's CatholicReview.org.
For 143 years, New Cathedral Cemetery has served the needs of the Catholic community of Baltimore and Central Maryland. New Cathedral is the only cemetery owned by the Archdiocese of Baltimore and is the final resting place for many religious orders and famous citizens. 125 acres of rolling hills, trees, and beautiful monuments, the cemetery is an oasis of peace and tranquility and is located off Edmondson Avenue just outside of Catonsville. New Cathedral is dedicated to the task of tending to the mortal remains of our dearly departed and has many more years of available space. If you are in need of a burial site, vault, monument, or marker, or just a respectful location to place your cremated loved ones, our counselors will help you through this process and make sure the wishes of you and your loved ones are honored. Visit us online at newcathedralcemetery.org, like us on Facebook at New Cathedral Cemetery Bonnie Bray, or call 410-566-7770.
You are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Welcome back to Catholic Baltimore. I'm George Matisek. Our guest today is Deacon Sean Keller of the Baltimore Basilica, and we're discussing how to live your faith in a secular culture. Deacon Keller, I think there's a great temptation these days to sort of divide up your life, that you're one person at church if you go to church, and then you're another person with your friends, and then another person at work. How do you kind of bring that all together and live an authentic life?
Well, I think the key term is authenticity. People will always see through every pious act. And I love the story recently of Harrison Butker, who's a kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs, because he's out there on the world stage in kind of this you know, male-dominated profession, you know, where the guys are tough and all this kind of stuff. And he shares a story about in college he drifted away from his faith. He found himself starting to seek purpose in life after a period of time, and you know, some purpose beyond the football field. And he said he went to confession, and that really changed him. And from then on, he found himself yearning for something else and starting to live a more authentic life. And he started reconciling that. As I say to people, I say, you know, you have to be the same person in church as you are when the people see you at work and the same people that see you in your neighborhood. And so that authenticity, because if you're not, people will see through that. People are not stupid, and they'll see right through that. And so you got to be authentic. And so that kind of takes us to kind of this idea of how do we witness in our world? If you can't go around, you know, smacking people over the head with the Bible, how do you witness in your world? And I pulled to some of the tenets of Opus Dei because it applies across the board to all of us. First of all, we all need to have our own deep conversion. And that's unique to us. That's as unique to us as our soul. And so your conversion experience and my conversion experience are two totally different, But we have to have that conversion experience. Okay? We have to be willing to be bold and confident. And how do we do that? How do we get the energy? We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit and 2,000 years of sacred tradition on our side. Okay? So we can be bold and we can be confident. And we have to have this, you mentioned earlier about this duality. We have to have a unity of life. And so we have to have the courage to witness for the faith, to step away from those things that are counter to living that authentic Catholic Christian life. And St. Jose Maria, he explained that Christians working in the world should not live a kind of double life. On the one hand, an interior life, a life of union with God, and on the other, a separate and distinct professional, social, and family life. He says, on the contrary, there is just one life, made of flesh and spirit. And it is this life which has to become in both soul and body, holy and filled with God. And so that's this idea of unity of life. And then there's this notion of sanctifying work. And that means doing work with the Spirit of Christ, to work competently and ethically with the aim of loving God and serving others, and thus to sanctify the world from within by making the gospel present in all the activities, whether they be outstanding or humble and hidden. Because in the eyes of God, what really matters is the love that is put into our work, not its human success. That's really what's important. And finally, charity. To meet Christ is to find a treasure that we can't stop sharing because we're so excited for the faith. We're witnesses to Jesus, and we spread his message of hope with example and our words. St. Jose Maria wrote, he said, side by side with our colleagues, friends, and relatives, and sharing their interest, we can help them come closer to Christ. The wish to make others know Christ, which is a direct consequence of charity, that is love of God above all things and of one's neighbor as oneself, cannot be separated from the desire to contribute to finding solutions to the material needs and social problems of our world. And so you have these ideas, the unity of life, the sanctifying work, and charity. One of my favorite sayings is from St. John the 23rd, and I hope I get it right. He says, in necessities, unity, in non-necessities, diversity, but in all things, charity. Mm. And so if we apply that to our daily lives, you know, in all things, charity, hopefully people will see that. Your colleagues and your friends and your family and your neighbors, they will all see that, so that you're the same person that they see in the neighborhood, the same person they see in a tie and the jacket at the office, and the same person that they meet in the pews at church.
And that will require some tough calls at times. Like if your best buddy's getting married and he asks you to come to the bachelor party, and you might not necessarily need to go,
right,
if you're going to have that
right
united life.
It's funny you said that, because I actually, I was sharing this with a couple that's getting married, and I said, look, I know that there's parties and things that go on before a person gets married, but how about just going have dinner? Have dinner and have some fellowship with your friends. You don't need to be attracted to those things that the secular world tells you have to do. It takes courage. You have to have courage to be countercultural. But if you have that, you'll be authentic, and people will see that. And they'll respect you for that. They really will.
Are there other practical things that people can do to live their faith in this culture that we live in?
I often associate this with the idea of, you know, how do we attract people? How do we appeal to the nuns out there? How do we get those folks back into the pews, or the non-believers? One is love. It always starts with love, okay? Compassion. Extending compassion to a colleague requires no effort on your part, but it goes a long way. Here's my favorite one, is mercy. Always being merciful. That's the one thing that Christ taught us, is merciful. Be merciful as the Father is. Humility. People don't like a boastful person. They just don't. Being humble. I always tell people, kid around, that I take great pride in my humility. but there's this idea, and I always kid around, it's this humility that, you know, I always struggle with, you know, I'm a type A personality, you know, and I want to be out there. But it's humility, and we got to work that. Hospitality. Always extending the hospitality of the church. How about inviting somebody to come to Mass with you? I think about a couple friends that years ago I started doing. They were lapsed Catholics, and I finally said, "Look, you're going to go to. I want you to go to Mass with me." And I literally picked them up on a Sunday. We'd take them to Mass, and then we'd go have breakfast afterwards. And then over time, that became a practice. It became practice so much that they started doing it themselves without me. They said, "Hey, look, I'm going to go to the church that's closest to home," and so forth. But you got to do that. You got to extend the hospitality of the church. You got to be willing to do that. Go that extra step. And finally, we got to be excited about our faith. You know, we can't, you know, have our faces long and feeling, "Oh, my sins, and I'm just a miserable person." People have to see that you're excited about your faith, because people want to be around a happy person. It's infectious, but we have to be excited about our faith. And I think that's ways that you can appeal to people and hopefully draw them back to the Lord. If they've never been, that they'll at least start asking questions. What's going on? What do you do? Until you get to that point where you're comfortable, say, "Hey, why don't you come with me?"
I think that friendship is so key. And at the Basilica, you're working on that with groups like the P3 group. Could you tell us what that is?
So I'm glad you asked that question. I can do some gratuitous advertising for the Basilica. But P3 stands for Prayer, Penance, and Pub. It's actually an offshoot of a program we used to run on Thursday nights, but it's been expanded. And so it begins with adoration, quiet adoration. And you come into the Undercroft Chapel and you have a time time to reflect, especially on a Thursday night. You've had most of the week is behind you. And then from there we have a talk that's given by somebody who's going to give a topic on a variety of issues that are very relevant to our lives. Meanwhile, penance is being offered. So there's a priest that's there to offer the sacrament of confession in the small chapel that's closest to the Undercroft Chapel. And then finally, we close out with benediction, and then afterwards we go to a pub. So we have an opportunity to have some of that fellowship and answer some questions that people might have that are lingering in their hearts and their souls, but they might not be comfortable asking a question in a larger setting.
And you have a lot of people going to that?
We do. We do. We range probably typically 30 or 40 folks. I remember the first time I gave one, I was expecting 3 or 4 people. It was a rainy, cold Thursday night, and I thought maybe there might be 5 people at the most. And I go down there, and there's probably 50 or 60 folks, so I was a little shocked. And so it's very appealing. It's very very well-liked, very well-attended. And I really encourage anyone out there who's thinking about that, who's just kind of maybe feel that tugging, the Lord calling them, join us. You will not be disappointed. I guarantee it. I promise it.
And people can find out more information on the website?
Yes, if you go to the Baltimore Basilica website, just Google americasfirstcathedral.org or baltimorebasilica.org. It'll take you there, and all that information is there. And the other beauty is they're taped. So if you haven't heard some of them, you can sit there and listen to them in your car, at home, at work during lunchtime.
That's great. Well, Deacon Sean Keller, thanks so much for being here on Catholic Baltimore.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Before we close out the show, I'd like to draw the attention of our listeners to a book written by Archbishop William D. Borders, one of the former archbishops of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. It's called Spiritual Living in Secular Society, and in it, the Archbishop touches on a lot of the themes we've been discussing today, especially from a theological perspective. I'd like to just close with one of the passages from that book. Here's Archbishop Borders. "To possess faith is to stake one's life on God's love. Until a person makes such a commitment, he or she does not possess faith." For Catholic Baltimore, I'm George Matisek. Thanks for listening.
Child abuse is not only a crime, it's also a sin.
The Archdiocese of Baltimore has long made the protection of children a leading priority in its parishes, schools, and other ministries. The Archdiocese seeks to keep kids safe through rigorous training and background checks, and by implementing a zero-tolerance policy for anyone credibly accused of abusing a child. For more information about the Archdiocese's efforts to keep our children safe, please visit www.archbalt.org.
Life can be hard, and at times we feel overwhelmed and alone. When faced with problems, know that there is a group of Catholics who are part of the prayer ministry of the Archdiocese of Baltimore, waiting to lift you and your needs to God in prayer. This ministry is comprised of men and women, young and old, religious and lay, from every ethnic and cultural background. They pray as individuals and in groups, in homes and meeting spaces throughout Baltimore. Like you, they are people who have suffered the same hurts, fears, pains, sickness, loss, and everyday burdens. Learn more about this ministry by visiting our website at www.archbalt.org. If you are in need of prayer, send your prayer request to prayers@archbalt.org or by phone to 410-547-5517. Would you like to volunteer to be a part of the ministry? Prayer ministers are always needed. Please call or email our coordinator, who would be happy to speak with you.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Baltimore. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May God bless us and keep us always in his love.